Good morning. Welcome. If you have your Bible with you, either in digital form or in printed form, I encourage you to take it out and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to look at those four verses there, Matthew 5, 17 to verse 20. In this message that I have in this new series from the Sermon on the Mount, Principles of a Fulfilled Life, I've entitled this message, Must Christians Keep the Law? Are Christians required to keep the Old Testament law? Our faith is related to keeping God's law. Let's consider those verses, Matthew 5, verses 17 to 20. Let's consider those verses one at a time and see Jesus' relationship to the law. First, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Those two words, destroy and fulfill. Destroy means to pull down in the sense of putting something aside, kind of like a camping tent. You know, to strike this campsite and to take down and put aside all of the tents as you clean up the area. Fulfill, on the other hand, means to fill full or bring to completion in the sense of reaching a goal. Jesus came to fill the law, to reveal the depth of its meaning as it was intended. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus did not contradict the law, nor did he preserve it. We preserve it unchanged. The common views are that the Old Testament must be reaffirmed in the New Testament in order to apply. All the Old Testament, on the other hand, applies unless it's revoked in the New Testament. The apostle agrees that all applies, but interpretation has its rules. No passage of Scripture is interpreted correctly except in view of the person and work of Jesus Christ and His covenant. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Augustine correctly wrote, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is by the new revealed. Completing, fulfilling, is different than setting something aside or destroying it. It's kind of like a painter does not destroy a sketch, but instead fills it completely. What the law had sketched, Christ painted completely. Jesus did not alter, He didn't do away with, He didn't replace the moral content of the Old Testament law. Jesus was not giving a new law or even modifying an old law. He explained by His life the true significance of the moral context of Moses' law and the rest of the Old Testament. The law and the prophets refers to the entire Old Testament scriptures. Fulfill is the sense of prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus is the fulfillment of law in every aspect. He fulfilled the moral law by keeping it perfectly. He fulfilled the ceremonial law by being the very embodiment of everything the law's types, the pictures, and the symbols pointed to. In the Old Testament, there was an image, a picture, a type of a Savior, a deliverer, like Moses, Joseph. There were sacrifices offered for sin, for the forgiveness of sin, for purifying. Those all pointed to the cross. They all pointed to a sacrifice one day that would take care of everything of sin. Jesus fulfilled that ceremonial law. So he fulfilled the moral law by keeping it perfectly. He fulfilled the ceremonial law by becoming the very embodiment of the sacrifice. And then he fulfilled the judicial law by becoming the personification of God's perfect justice. He took on himself all of the sin of the world, and God judged that sin with his perfect holy justice, the death penalty for sin. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, there's no more need to fulfill the law in the sense of the ceremony, in the sense of the justice. Jesus fulfilled that. And because he fulfilled that, he brought an end to it as far as our judgment and forgiveness is concerned. So Jesus fulfilled the law. Second, Jesus Christ valued the law. Look at verse 18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. A jot, a tittle. The jot is the smallest Greek vowel. It's equal to the Hebrew yod. Tittle is the little pen stroke that extends above a word. In English, we have serifs on the on words. There are various types of serifs. So what is Jesus saying here in this verse? Well, he was affirming the inerrancy, that there are no errors of all Scripture, right down to the smallest word. An important qualification is given, till all is fulfilled. The parallel passage of Luke chapter 16 and verse 17 is clearer even than that. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Jesus Christ was emphasizing the inspiration and the enduring authority for our obedience of all Scripture, down to the jot and the tittle. He brought certain things to completion, like the need for ritual sacrifice, yet love of neighbor and love of God remain. In fact, Jesus gave six examples in the next verses 21 to 48. He gave six examples of this. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say, in verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, in verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, verse 33, again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. But I say, verse 38, You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, or I tell you, in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, the New Testament does not supplant or replace the Old Testament. All ceremonial requirements of the law of Moses are fulfilled in Christ, and therefore are no longer observed by Christians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is in Christ. Those things were all types. They were all shadows. They were all pictures of what was going to happen. They were just giving us a forward look. But the reality of it all is in Jesus Christ. The substance is there. And yet, not one jot or tittle is erased, as the underlying truths or principles of those scriptures remain. God's Word speaks to every situation or issue of life, either by a direct command or a principle of truth. And then third, Jesus Christ obeyed the law. Verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus puts doing before teaching. But whoever does and teaches them, or breaks and teaches, the teacher must apply the doctrine to himself before he's qualified to teach others to apply it. Did you hear? The teacher must apply the truth to his own life if he's going to teach it to others for them to apply. This was the problem with the Pharisees. This was the problem. They taught people to do things that they didn't do themselves. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. The scribes interpreted and taught the law, and the Pharisees were the court of law. Jesus exposed them as externally blameless and yet internally corrupt. All of Matthew 23, and especially verses 27 and 28, is what we refer to as the seven woes when Jesus spoke in the temple. But verses 27 and 28 in particular, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. To do and to teach is the ultimate test of greatness. Shall be called least. Not loss of salvation, but place in the kingdom of heaven. Citizens are to uphold the law by both practicing it and teaching others to do the same. Who is a kingdom citizen? Well, Christians. We're all the same. We all come the same way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God, out of his love, sent Jesus Christ that we might have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how was that demonstrated? God gave eternal life by giving Jesus. Well, Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross and died that we might be forgiven, putting our trust in Him and gaining eternal life. And we need to confess it. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. But let me ask you, are you a kingdom citizen? The citizens of the kingdom of God are Christians. Are you a Christian? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? And then fourth, Jesus Christ affirmed the law. In verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The word exceeds is the key to this whole passage. It's kind of like a river overflowing its banks. Jesus' followers must do better than the scribes and the Pharisees. They teach, but they don't do. We need to teach and do and exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Listen, it's a deep call. True followers. Verse 6, Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It is love response versus legal requirements. Jesus did not challenge the Pharisees' detailed attention to the law. His disciples needed an internal conformity, the Spirit, to the external obedience, the letter. With this verse, Jesus closed the door on any possibility of work salvation, an impossible barrier. Sinners are capable of nothing but a flawed and imperfect righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Salvation is only by faith in Jesus Christ, putting our trust in Him. The law does have a purpose, though. While Jesus fulfilled it, the law has a purpose. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 tell us, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, the Apostle Paul speaks the same thing. He says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, the law can only make us aware of our sin and shut our mouths from bragging about how good we are and how we deserve what God has to offer. So it makes us aware of our sin, but it also, it acts as a tutor. The tutor in ancient times was the one who had authority to guide a person's life, a young child, till they reach age. They were basically under the authority of a tutor. Well, what Paul's telling us is that the tutor, in God's plan, brings us to Jesus Christ by the law. The law is the tutor. So the law makes us aware of sin, convicts us of sin, and brings us to Jesus, realizing that we need His forgiveness for eternal life. And that's as far as the law can go. The law cannot make us righteous. The law can only bring us to Jesus to see the need that we have in Him. The motive? Well, obedience, rather than trying to fulfill the law for righteousness, obedience is a response of love. Rather than a legal requirement that we be right before God, it's a response of love because of what was done for us in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 26, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a response of love to keep the commandments, to keep the law. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14:24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So then, if you don't obey the word, it's clear that you have a love problem. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can see here that the law was not destroyed. The Old Testament is not put away. Jesus didn't come to destroy the Old Testament. He came to fulfill every part of it that needed to be fulfilled ceremonially, the justice of it. But that the principles, the underlying truth is still applicable today, but rather than to be a legal requirement, it is a response of love that we have for Jesus Christ, love that we have for the Father, and that we want to do because we love Him. We want to be pleasing to Him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is there for us from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And Father, may we, every one of us watching or listening, we may do business with you and be committed. If it needs to be a fresh recommitment, that we are committed to you, we are committed to your word in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, we just put it all before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.